The Algae Biomass Organization is the industry trade association for the leaders in developing algae-based products, from fuel to food, feed, and nutritional ingredients, plastics, fertilizers, even pharmaceuticals. Our membership is takes the full range from academic research labs to Fortune 500 companies, such as Boeing, FedEx, Duke Energy, and Sempra, all of whom recognize the potential that algae has to contribute to the solving some of the biggest sustainability challenges that we face today. You know, I think the trends in the algae sector very much mirror those in the broader biofuels community. We've clearly moved beyond the youthful exuberance phase of algae. Back in 2008 and 2009, when I attended the Algae Biomass Summit, there were nearly 1,000 people in the room, everybody looking for to strike it rich. You know, I think we've really entered a maturing phase where we're starting to see strategic partnerships, diversified product portfolios, and a look overseas for first-of-a-kind production facilities. Just to give you some examples from the past few months of those trends, Sapphire Energy is probably among the best-known algae biomass companies. Recently brought on a new CEO, Jamie Levine, from the industrial biotech world, to look at broadening Sapphire's product portfolio beyond just fuels into other higher value markets. At the same time, they recently signed a deal with Sinopec, the Chinese energy giant, to look at building their first production facilities in China. Helier is probably a lesser known company, but equally as promising, signed a deal recently with a large Japanese waste management company to build their first production facility in Japan. And that facility is going to produce a product called astaxanthin, which is an antioxidant pigment that is in high demand as a health supplement. And then Synthetic Genomics, who I think many thought of as the company that's sort of looking furthest out into the future, had a large deal with ExxonMobil to develop advanced biofuels, but on a more sort of 10 to 20 year time frame. Recently signed a deal with Archer Daniels Midland to begin production of high value omega 3 fatty acids. Interesting trends, but I don't want to give you the impression that the industry has moved away from fuels, not by any means. Solana and renewable algal energy recently signed deals with Neste for offtake of algal oil for transportation fuel. Algenol is financed by Valero, Sapphire by Phillips 66. So clearly, you know, fuel remains the major driver. So these trends, I think, are driven partly by the natural evolution of a maturing industry, but also, as Mike and Joe pointed out, by the federal policy, the federal policy field. RFS instability and the foot dragging on pathway approvals, the failure to extend the second generation biofuels tax credit, all are contributing to this trend overseas and away from fuels. But in addition to that, for the algae industry, there's a big piece around missed opportunities at EPA on their clean power rules for new and existing power plants. And I think, you know, this speaks to the broader issue with EPA's treatment of biomass across a range of policy issues. But, you know, the big problem for our members is that there is this really dynamic and exciting set of technologies, many of which, probably the majority of which, are bio-based, to use waste CO2 to produce fuels and products, and really turn CO2 from a problem into an opportunity, and a revenue-generating opportunity for utilities, and a way to address climate change without impacting ratepayers. You know, I like to say it's really a match made in heaven. Algae producers and utilities, but we need EPA to tie the knot. And right now, the way that EPA has written their proposed rules for new and existing power plants, there's some acknowledgement of carbon capture and sequestration, underground storage, but there's no discussion at all on reusing that CO2 in an economically viable way, and we need that to change. Again, sort of ending on a bright note, I think we've only just begun to scratch the surface on what algae can do to address the sustainability challenges that I mentioned. You know, we're just to give you a couple of examples of the things that I found most exciting. We have one company that's developing that found an algae species that lives naturally in the soil. They've begun to scale up industrial production of those algae, and then will sell the algae as a soil amendment, a biofertilizer. Those algae will not only capture CO2 from a power plant or another industrial source as they're being grown in the industrial setting, but then when they are placed back out into the field, they will continue to sequester CO2, nitrogen, and other greenhouse gases into the soil in perpetuity. This is a permanent CO2 fixation solution that really, you know, I think could change the conversation around carbon. There are other applications in wastewater management, in improving and in enhancing the efficiency of methane gas digesters. So we've really, I think, just begun to scratch the surface. The key, though, is that we need federal, state, and local policy to help accelerate development and adoption of these technologies and not hinder it. And as Mike and Joe have pointed out, that's by no means clearly the trend.